The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter Number 1, Text Number 3, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on April 28th, 2012, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo Bhagavate
Iti
na
sumahabhaga
narayana
gunan
prati
sanshaya sumaham jata tat bhavan chetam arhati. Itina samuhabhaga Narayana gutan prati
Sanshaya samuhanjatas
Tadbhavanshetamarhati
Itina
samuhabhaga
Narayana gunan prati
Sankshaya samuhan jatas Tadbhavanshchetamarhati.
Iti
thus.
Thank you.
Na our
Sumahabhaga,
O glorious one,
Narayana Gunan,
the qualities of Narayan, Prati, toward Sanshaya. Doubt.
Abeyones.
Sumahan. Very great.
Dijas.
Jata. Born.
Kila.
Tat. That.
Shes.
Bhavan. Your lordship.
Jūsų šviesybės.
Chetamarhati, please dispel. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O greatly fortunate and learned Brahmana, whether Narayan is partial or impartial has become a subject of great doubt. Kindly dispel my doubt with positive evidence that Narayan is always neutral and equal to everyone. Purport. Since Lord Narayan is absolute, his transcendental qualities are described as one. Thus, his punishments and his offerings of favor are both of the same value. Essentially, his inimical actions are not displays of enmity toward his so-called enemies, but in the material field, one thinks that Krishna is favorable to devotees and unfavorable to non-devotees. When Krishna finally instructs in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Puritjaja, Mame Kong Sharanangvaja, this is meant not only for Arjuna, but for every living entity within this universe.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatha Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragnitan Vitam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Varijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Shakam Vidamscha.
So sometimes we may think that Krishna is partial. That sometimes he rewards people, and sometimes he punishes people. But actually, Krishna never punishes anybody. Everything that's going on with his arrangement is for the benefit of every living entity. A small child may think when his parents give him medicine that he's being punished. Because it doesn't taste good. But are the parents being cruel to the child when they give him medicine? Are they punishing him by giving him medicine? No. They're helping the child to become healthy. The loving parent always acts for the benefit of the child. So, do we think Krishna is not a loving parent? Do we think that all living entities are not his children? You see, of course Krishna is the loving parent of all children. Every living entity is the child of Krishna. Krishna feels great love and affection for every single living entity. So we may sometimes think, oh, I'm being punished by nature or being punished by God. But that is simply our misunderstanding. Everything that's coming to us is the special mercy of God. Everything that is coming to us is the special mercy of God. So, what should we do? We should reciprocate. With God is being so kind to me. Let me show my gratitude. I mean, just see what he's doing for us. You're breathing right now, aren't you? We take it for granted. But if you were put into a place where there was nothing to breathe and you were dying for lack of air, and someone came all of a sudden and gave you air to breathe, you would feel like they had saved your life. You'd feel so grateful to that person. They've given me air to breathe. They have saved my life. They gave me air to breathe. So Krishna is doing that at every minute. But we become blind. We say there is no God. Or we say God is impersonal. We become so blinded by this materialistic civilization. We don't even want to acknowledge the presence of God anymore. We don't want to acknowledge the loving gifts the Lord is giving at every minute. The air we breathe, the food we eat, the clothing, the houses, everything we have. Everything is God's gift. So we have to become a little grateful. We have to become thankful. If you just take and you never give, what are you called?
Jeigu jūs tik tai imate ir niekas neduodate, kaip jūs vadinate?
What's the word for that?
Koks žodis yra?
Miser.
Šikštuolis.
In Sanskrit we say kripana.
Kripana sanskrito kalboje.
In English there's a slang word creep.
Yra toksai slang žodis creep.
Yeah, that guy's a real creep.
Tai reiškia, kad tas vaikinas tikrai toksai.
He's a rascal, you say.
Niekšiukas.
So kripana means he's a rascal.
Taigi kripana reiškia niek.
He takes, but he doesn't give.
Jisai ima, bet neduoda.
He's a miser.
Jis yra
šikštuolis. Jis nori imti, bet nieko nenori dalintis. That's called miser. So as I many times explained before, miser means miserable.
Taip daug kartų prieš tai aš apibūdinau, kad šikštuolis reiškia liūdnuolis.
The more we become miserly in the mood of taking without giving, then we become miserable.
Kuo mes daugiau tampame tokioje nuotaikoje šikštuolio, tuo mes daugiau tampame liūdnesni.
Can you wake that devotee up back there? Prabhu, can you wake up? This is important. I want you to hear this.
Norim, kad jūs nemiegotumėt, kad išgirtumėt, tai labai svarbu.
This will help you.
Tai jums padės.
So, the more we can give,
kuo mes daugiau galime duoti,
you see, we become happy.
Tuo mes tampame laimingesni.
It's like in your neighborhood, if you help your neighbor, you feel good. I help my neighbor.
Kaip pavyzdžiui, padėjęs savo kaimynui, jausitės gerai.
Or if you can do something to help your community, oh, I help the community, you feel good. I did something for the environment, you know, I recycled my soda can or something, you feel good, I recycled my soda can. So the point is, the more you can give, the more you feel good. So if you can become perfect in giving, then you become perfect in happiness. So what is the perfection of giving? You have to serve the best interest of everybody. Well, how do you do that? There's a lot of people here in town. How do I serve the best interest of every citizen of Kaunas? That would be difficult. But when you water the tree, do you water all the leaves and branches? No, the tree is too big. I can't even reach all those leaves and branches. But if you'll just water the root, then every leaf and branch in that entire tree will become watered by your Therefore, if you will give your love to Krishna, if you give your loving service to Krishna, then your love will be distributed throughout the whole universe. And guess what? You're also a part of the universe. So when you love Krishna, you love yourself also, along with everybody else. In other words, you are not neglected. When you give your love to Krishna, you are not neglected. Because you are part of Krishna. When you give your love to Krishna, you also get that love. In a pure form. So, this is not impersonal philosophy. We don't deny the personality of Godhead. Nor do we deny our own existence. We're eternal living entities. Krishna is eternal. We are eternal. Nityo nityanam. Chaitanas chaitananam. Krishna is the supreme, singular eternal.
Krishna yra aukščiausias.
And we are the plural eternals.
O mes esame amžini.
Chaitanas chaitananam. Krishna is the supreme conscious being. Chaitanas. And we are Chaitananam, the plural conscious beings. And Krishna also confirms in Bhagavad Gita 2.12 Natveva hang jatu nasang natvang neme janadipa. says, never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings. Nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. So you exist eternally. This body you have right now is just one of millions of bodies you've had. And you will continue to exist for all of eternity. So whatever difficulties we may have with our present body, it's not that big of a deal. Because it's only temporary. You see? We'll have this body today, and tomorrow you have a different body. The day after, the next. We're constantly changing bodies. According to our previous pious and impious activities, each of us has gotten our present body. But if we will take this body and engage it in Krishna's service, not only our body, but also our mind, our very self, if we will engage in Krishna's service, then we become blissful. Because we realize our eternal nature, which is not touched by any of the material anxieties. So please awaken your Krishna consciousness. It's not difficult. You simply have to desire it, that's all. You don't have to do any rigid austerities. Just chant and dance and feast. Have a good time in the kirtan. Take Krishna Visharam to your full satisfaction and celebrate the bliss of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Bhaja bhaja bhai Chaitanya Nitaya, you see. We simply worship these beautiful lords, Vishigar Nitai, Nitai Garachandra. They have come dancing into Kaunas. And they're inviting us all to dance with them every day, you see. We simply ask that you dance with us. We are the dancing gods. We want you to all be the dancing devotees. So if we will simply chant and dance with Shishi Gornitai, with great love and devotion, with pure hearts, someday they may come off the altar and dance with us in the temple room. That happened. Did you hear about that? That at a Gaurapurnima festival? Did you hear the pastime? Does everybody know about that Gaurapurnima festival? Oh, wow, this is amazing. This was the original Gaurapurnima festival, again, arranged by Janava Mata and Narottam Das Thakur. Janava Mata was a big guru, actually. She was the wife of Lord Chaitanya, of Lord Nityananda. And after he left the world, she became the big guru, Janava Mata. So anyway, Janava Mata and Narottam Das Thakur arranged the first Gaurapurnima festival. And Lord Chaitanya and all of his associates had already departed from the world. The Panchatapa had all departed, you see. And people were in great pain of separation. Because they had seen Lord Chaitanya, you see. And now he was gone. It was just such unbearable pain. But to try to get over this pain, they organized a big Gaurapurnima festival. And there was so much love. There was so much bhakti in that kirtan that they had in the festival. The Panchatattva manifested in the kirtan, and were chanting and dancing with the devotees. Everybody could see the Panchatattva were chanting and dancing with the devotees. So if we can chant with great pure love here in Kaunas, Someday we may see the deities come off the altar and chant and dance with us in the temple. If we have to become completely pure, free of all the lust, all the anger, all the greed, all the madness, all the illusion, and worst of all, the envy, which pollutes our heart. Because of these things we cannot see. God is present everywhere, but we cannot see. What are we seeing now? We're simply seeing the material energy. That's all we're seeing right now. The material elements. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. The subtle elements are also there. Mind, intelligence, and false ego. That's called the astral body. We cannot see. But if we continue chanting Hare Krishna, chanting and dancing in ecstasy, and taking prasad to our full satisfaction, that day will come and we will see Krishna. So now I can ask if there's any questions.
Bet šalia viso šito yra ir kitos savybės, kaip pyktis, ir kuris greuna, pavyzdžiui, šalį kokią nors. Yra pavydas, tai kam yra skirtos tos kitos savybės?
Dievo savybės, jau.
Jo. Kokia jų realizacijos paskirtis yra?
Dievo aukščiausia savybė yra besalginė meilė visoms gyvūnams. Bet taip pat Dievas turi tokias savybės, kaip pykti. Kam tokia savybė gali būti skirta?
Most important quality of Krishna is pure love for everyone, but Krishna also has these spiritual qualities as anger, as envy. So for what purpose these qualities is?
Love. Krishna's anger is also a manifestation of his love. Every quality of Krishna is a manifestation of his love. Next question. Yeah, Debbie.
Jeigu viskas, kas nutinka, tai yra Krišnas malonė, tuomet mes neturėtume mėginti išvengti nelaimių savo
gyvenime. Nei laimė, nei nelaimė. Mes neatmesti, kas atrodo gerai, nei
stengtis kovos nelaimė. If everything is Krishna's mercy, so it looks like we should not try to avoid no problems, no happiness. We should not try to avoid if some trouble is coming to us, we just take it and no trying to do something without with this.
Is that what Krishna said? Is that the example of Pariksit Maharaj when Kali was torturing the cow? He was torturing Dharma the bull. Is that the response of Pariksit Maharaj? He was going to kill Kali for his offense. So we have to see the practical application of philosophy. We can understand by seeing these great devotees. What you're describing is the vision of a Mahabhagavan, Uttamadhikari. He sees everybody as a pure devotee of Krishna, everything is Krishna's mercy, so I just accept everything as Krishna's mercy. That's a very advanced position. But you can't preach in that consciousness. So the Mahabhagavat, he comes down and acts on the platform of a Majjhima Bhakta. He distinguishes between the demons and the devotees. And Krishna also makes that distinction. So, there's one thing that's not Krishna's mercy. And this you must understand. There's one thing that is not the mercy of Krishna. And that is the jiva's envy. That's not the mercy of Krishna. His rebellion against the Lord, that is not Krishna's mercy. So not that everything is Krishna's mercy. The misuse of one's independence, that is not the mercy of Krishna. That he has independence, that is the mercy of Krishna. His misuse of it is his own nonsense. Now what happens to him after he misuses independence, that is Krishna's mercy. He's put into this material existence to reform him of his mistake. So what we do when we are not Krishna conscious, that is not Krishna's mercy. What happens to us, that is Krishna's mercy. But when we act independently from the order of Krishna, that is not Krishna's mercy. That is simply our nonsense. Does that make it clear? Okay, next question.
Aš
tai reiškia, kadangi mūsų organizacija SKON yra pamokslavimo organizacija, tai pas mus yra nepageidaujami utama adikari.
Uždraustas utama adikari lygis.
Uždrausti.
Is it mean that because our community, SKON, is preaching community, so it means that it's forbidden to be utama adikari?
His question is a very interesting question. Since we have a preaching movement or a preaching community, is that you're not allowed to be an uttama adhikari? No, that's not. One should become an uttama adhikari. But not all of a sudden. Not all of a sudden at once. You have to go step by step, gradually. First you become Majjhima adhikari. And then you become Uttama adhikari. But even as Uttama adhikari, Prabhupada was the topmost Uttama adhikari. But externally he acted as a Majjhima adhikari. So Uttama adhikari means completely pure devotee. You should become completely pure devotee. But for preaching you should always act as a Majjhima adhikari. That here is the Supreme Lord. Here are the Lord's devotees. Here are the innocent people that I can cultivate and make devotees. And here are the demons that I should avoid their association. That's Majjhima adhikari. So even the Uttama, he acts like a Majjhima for preaching. So actually, if we all become Uttama adhikari, that's very good. We should all become Uttama adhikari. But not artificially. Like Sahajya. That now I'll pick my rasa.
You see?
Okay.
Jisai vienu metu ir mato skirtumus ten demonas įstavęs ir tuo pačiu nemato, kaip supras.
Tai reiškia, kad utama adhikaris gali tuo pat metu matyti skirtumą tarp demono ir įstavusiu ir tuo pat metu nematyti skirtumą tarp jų.
Is it mean that utama adhikari has ability to see, that one time see difference and non-see difference?
I don't...
Utama adhikari can be the same time, he can simultaneously see.
He can do both things simultaneously, yeah. He can see how Krishna is acting through every... He can see how Krishna is acting in every single... through every single person, both the demons and the devotees. He can see how the demons are also acting perfectly to execute the will of the Lord in the world. And he can see how the Lord is in the heart of the demons also. If you really want to know what all the details about Uttamadikara, you just have to become one, that's all.
And
then you really know all the inside of an Uttamadikara. You become one. By completely surrendering to the order of Guru and Krishna. Completely sold out servant of Guru and Krishna, you see. Pure bhakti. You see, I have no desire except to please Guru and Krishna. You stay fixed in that mood, then you will become Uttamadikari in due course. My only desire is to please my Guru and to please Krishna. Next question. Yeah.
Why devotees should try to avoid demons?
That means for preaching work, you put your energy where you can get some good result. Actually, the devotees are very kind. They approach everyone and try to give them. But if someone is inimical, then they're completely inimical, and they move on to somebody else who will be more receptive. We're instructed to avoid the demons because they are full of blasphemy. And if we preach to them, they will increase their venom, increase their blasphemy. But it's also a fact that more that one becomes expert, he can approach demoniac people. Just like Jagai and Madai were saved by the mercy of Lord Nityananda. They were great demons. The more one is advanced in Krishna consciousness, he can approach anybody and preach to them. But we are instructed to distinguish between demons and innocent. Doesn't make sense to try to put all your energy into trying to make some demons Krishna conscious when there's so many innocent people. Should try to those who are most qualified to hear, we should put our energy there. At the same time, we give the demons a mercy too. We go on Harinam Sankirtan, everyone gets to hear the Holy Name. We offer books to everybody. We want that all the demons should become devotees. And sometimes even the most demoniac people become devotees. There was one story of a man in Spain. It was horrible. He ripped the book up. He hit the devotee and everything. Some banker from Spain. He hit some Mataji, he ripped up the book. It was very violent, great demon. Later on, he became a devotee, and he met that Mataji that he had been very offensive to, and he was just weeping and crying and begging for forgiveness. So actually, in our movement, we approach everybody with the books. We don't distinguish between innocent and demon. We give everyone that chance. And we see that they're not receptive, they have a demoniac mood, then we say, okay, Hare Krishna, we go on to the next person. Any other question?
Самые продвинутые преданные Утамадхикари, они видят, как искон влияет на мир. То есть у них есть видение того, как миссия Господа Читания пришла через Шри Прабхупаду.
Утамадхикари мата как Шрила Прабхупада миссия лечит сауны.
Если бы какое будущее искон будет?
Jūs matot, kaip jis kon pakeis pasaulyje ateityje? Taigi, Utamadhikari ir vyresni atsidavusi, jie mato, kaip Prabhupados misija keičia pasaulį. Tai klausimas toks, kaip ateityje jis kon pakeis pasaulyje.
Utamadhikaris and senior devotees, they can see how ISKCON is changing the world. Can you explain how ISKCON will change the world, how it will look like?
How it will change the world? What will it be like? Everybody will chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And everybody will be happy. Next question, Yadavi.
I can't understand. Maybe you can explain how demons can be engaged in making
serve Krishna.
How they executing the will of God? How they are executing the will of God?
How they can execute the will of God? That's very easy to understand. The law of karma is going on to purify all the living entities of their sinful reactions. So, somebody engaged does sinful activity. Let's say they murder somebody. Their karma is they have to be murdered now. They killed someone, now they have to kill someone. They have to be killed. So, some demon becomes, some person delivers their karma to them, he murders them. So there's an example right there. Karma is all the, everyone is acting under the laws of karma, which is ultimately the arrangement of the Lord. Pious and impious, everyone is acting under the karmic laws. Only the devotees, the pure devotees, are free from karma. To the extent that we have surrendered to Krishna, to that extent we are freed from karma also. To the extent that we are still holding on to that hope that I can enjoy this material world. To that extent, we are suffering karma. Next, does that answer your question? Next question.
Krishna sako Bhagavad Gita, kad aš demonus patalpinu į pačias bjauriausias gyvybės formas. Kodėl jis jį daro?
Krishna patalpina gyvos demonus į pačias bjauriausias formas. Kodėl jis taip daro?
In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that he puts demons in the most miserable positions.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Why?
That's their karma.
So after that they don't want to be demons and decide to become devotees.
Eventually everyone will become a devotee. Prabhupada confirms that in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. He said the destiny of every living entity is to go back to home, back to Godhead. If you can put your mouth closer to his ear and speak a little softer, that'd be good. Because it's being recorded also, so it would help the recording. Just you can put closer to his ear and speak a little softer. I'm happy you're translating, though. I want him to get all the nectar. Okay, next question.
Mokytojas pasakojo istoriją, kada Bakti norėjo pradėti vaiką, sukartojo 50 ratų ir persigalvojo, bet kodėl jie persigalvojo, jog tada toks lytinis aktas tai taip pat yra Krišno sąmoningas veiksmas.
Pats Krišna.
Yra pats Krišna. You was explaining story how devotees was chanting 50 rounds because they want to beget the child.
Right.
But after chanting, we decided not to beget. So
no, they postponed it for a month. They didn't give it up. They just said, we'll wait till next month.
But Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita that...
He said, why?
Yes, why?
Okay, well, I'm going to answer this question. Because when you have sex, you come down into bodily consciousness. It's unavoidable. I mean, you know, male, female, you know, genitals and all that. You really come down into bodily consciousness when you have sex. But they were feeling on such a high spiritual plane. They were tasting so much nectar on the spiritual plane. They if we have sex, we're going to lose this blissful feeling that we have right now. In the material world, people have sex because they want to get some bliss, you see. Because the greatest material bliss is sex. But for one who actually tastes the bliss of Krishna consciousness, sex means coming down to a lower position. So they said, well, we want to have a child, so we have to do this, but we can wait a month, it's okay.
But in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said that this sex according religious principles is also Krishna himself.
Yes, that act of sex is Krishna himself. That's a fact. I'm not denying them.
So, why one should avoid Krishna?
Why one should avoid Krishna? That's an interesting question. I heard this verse can be, one can play some word jugglery on that verse, you see. I am sex life. Which I am sex life, which is not contrary to religious principles. I don't know if you can pick it up in the translation, but somebody can play word jugglery with that verse and say, Krishna says, I am sex life, which is not against religious, it's not against religious principles. I am sex, and it's not against religious principles.
Sako,
But that's not what Krishna is saying. Krishna says, I am that sex which is according to religious principles, that is I am. He doesn't say, I am sex. But I am sex, which is, I am licit sex. I'm not illicit sex, but I am licit sex.
Maybe Krishna inspired them through holy name that it's not the right time to beget child.
It's hard to say, you have to ask them. The thing is, they were really relishing the holy name. And the highest principle is actually to give up sex altogether. Even licit sex is ultimately given up. So the highest ras is kirtan ras, not licit sex ras. Kirtan ras is a higher ras than licit sex ras. Higher. Even though legal sex is Krishna, it's not as high as nama ras. You understand? Yeah. Okay. Because even legal sex is given up, but nama ras is never given up.
So,
ar galima pasakyti, koks yra taip pat yra skirtumas tarp Krišnos, kuris yra vandens skonis ir Krišnos, kuris yra šventas vardas.
Okay, next question.
Kitas klausimas.
Yeah.
Iškilių asmenybių čarių, kurie turėjo šeimas ar vaikus. Ir ta prasme, ar tikrai tas santykis būtent, kada jis yra dėl vaikų pagal religijos principus, ar tikrai jis nustumė žmogų tą žemesnį platformą?
Yra daug iškilių šventų asmenybių, kurie turėjo šeimas ir vaikus. Ar iš tiesų vidiniai santykiai pagal religijos principus nusodina žmogų žemesnį platformą?
There are many great acharyas who had children. Is it really true that this legal sex is lowering down your consciousness? Anyone?
Is it really true that legal sex lowers your consciousness?
It's always like this, or can be some exceptions?
Could actually. One, a pure devotee could have sex without lowering his consciousness a bit. That's confirmed by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakura. He said, if I could have Krishna conscious children, I am prepared to have sex 100 times. But if you're not on the level of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakura, it might lower your consciousness. Therefore, we give it up. Next question.
Yeah. Только лишь если вы полностью чисты. Потом он повернулся и сказал, что нет, 90% моего благословения. Потом 80%, потом 70, 60%. Скажите, в каком храме это было? Не так ли? Как это? Правда ли это? Что мы имеем сейчас эти благословения?
Viena šimtyko Šrila Prabhupada pasakė, kad grįžti pas Dievą, jis turi būti 100% švariai. paskui jis pasisuka į kitą pusę, sako, nu gerai, 90%, nu gerai, 80%, nu 70%, ir 60% nustumė. Ir klausimas toks, ar kokia šventykla tai buvo ir veikia šitie palaiminimai iki šiol ar ne.
Once Prabhupada said that to come to Krishna, you need to be 100% pure.
Yes.
Then he said, okay, 90. Then he said, okay, 70, and then he go down to 60.
No, he only went down to 70.
The question is, in which place it was, he said?
Montreal.
Montreal,
Canada.
Montreal, and it is true, it works?
Yeah, does it? Yes, of course. But you have to, the thing is, it's a, wow, Prabhupada said, yeah, only, if you're only 70% pure, you can go back to Godhead. Great! I can remain 30% impure. That means there's 30 days in the month. 10 days I can have illicit sex, I can take smoke marijuana. For one third of the month I'll smoke marijuana, have illicit sex, eat hamburgers. And then the other 70% I'll be pure. And I'll be all right, I can go back to Godhead. No, not like that. Thing is, even in the school, you see, if we, then I don't know about the here in the Europe, but in the U.S., if you made a 70, it was a passing grade on the exam. We had 93 to 100 was an A. Then I think it was 86 to 93 was a B. And I think 79 to 85 was a C. Something like that. And then 70 to 79, whatever it is, was a D. So anything 69 and lower, it's an F. You fail the exam. So if you say, I'm going to shoot for 70% purity, if there's even a slight deviation, you're down at 69 and you fail. Therefore, to be safe, you should go for 100% purity. Another point is this. What's written in Prabhupada's books is always considered more authoritative than what he said. Without, in his books it says you have to be 100% pure. So both are true, but the 100% is more authoritative and considered more authoritative because he wrote it in his books. It's not that the 70% isn't true, but the point is you have to strive for 100% purity. It's like the old saying, you know, shoot for the stars and at least you'll clear the fence. You see, every devotee should strive for prema bhakti. And then if you really try hard to become a pure devotee, then chances are good you're going to at least do 70%. But if you don't try hard to be a pure devotee, you may only go 65%. You'll be able to take breath again. See. So you strive to be a pure devotee. Prabhupada ordered me to become a pure devotee. He told me, he said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. So Prabhupada ordered me to be 100%. And I'm just begging his mercy that somehow I can make it. By his grace. Any other questions? Everybody's satisfied now?
Everybody's happy?
Visi laimingi?
Everybody's ready for the class to end?
Ar visi nori, kad baigtųsi paskaita?
You ready for the class to end?
No.
You're not? Well, there's no more question.
Yeah, daugiau klausimų?
We actually, the thing is, we're driving all the way to Telsi today. Telsi? We're going to, I can't pronounce it, I just call it Telsi. Today we're going to Telsi and it's a long drive. Anybody who wants to catch my evening lecture, come all the way to Telsi town. Tomorrow I'll be back here giving the morning class here. Because we have a tight schedule, we have to drive all the way to Telsi town, therefore we have to stop on time today. So I thank you all very much. Oh, now we have a very good news, another sincere soul. This is from Klaipeda.
From
Kaunas. Huh?
Two.
And two, oh, one from Kaunas also. Two more pranam mantras. That's very auspicious. Bring my computer back here. Put it right here. Jai, so. Now you can have her read the. Let's see, where is that one? Should be, yeah, here we go. You can have her say the prayers now. This is her first time to utter the pranam mantra. Oh, there'll be two of them, okay. Good. Okay. You can have them say the pranam mantra. Bow down and say the pranam mantra.
Now.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale Srimate Sankarsana Dasa Vikari Nityanayane Namo Prabhupada Deva Prema Murti Kripatmane Gauradesha Vikrikasharana Nama Bhakti Vashine
Viva Jai. I only have one garland. I don't know what to do. Forget it. I normally give a garland, but I can't do it. I can't be partial. I can't give it just...